Sorry to bother you, but this Fuller Brush kit had your name on it, Wallach. Is it yours?
Yes, it's mine. I lent it to Red Jones.
Why?
That's what I'd like to know.
Who are you?
Oh, I'm sorry, Lieutenant. This is Mr. Seward, our district manager.
Yes, and in all my years with the company, we've never before been associated with scandal. Just look at these newspaper headlines, will you? Fuller Brush Man says buy or die.
Horrors! The Fuller Brush Man would never say anything like that. That's a clip from the film The Fuller Brush Man, and if you're under 35, you'll be forgiven for thinking he was some sort of evil action hero. He was actually quite a hero to a lot of homebound women in the 40s and 50s. He was the salesman who came door-to-door selling household products, often relieving the monotony. In fact, I know at least one family in which the joke was that the youngest kids looked more like the Fuller Brush Man than Dad. Hearty har har. Which is why I was so excited to pick up the San Francisco Chronicle and read in an article by Sam Whiting that there still is possibly just one last Fuller Brush Man still making the rounds. His name is Norman Hall, and he joins us from KRCB in Rohnert Park, California. Norman, hello.
Hello.
And do people say that to you a lot? Like, oh my gosh, you're the Fuller Brush Man?
Absolutely. If it's someone who hasn't met me before, I can guarantee you that a line like, I didn't know the Fuller Brush Man was still around, will be said.
Well, and yet on the other hand, do young people even know what it is?
No, it's a missionary job in many respects, make no mistake.
Well, in fact, there's another film, The Fuller Brush Girl, and Lucille Ball stars in that one, but probably young people haven't heard of that either.
No, they haven't. You have to rely on salesmanship if no one has even heard of The Fuller Brush Man.
Let's explain who The Fuller Brush Man was. Always the height of propriety. He came into women's homes. He spread his wares out in the living room. It seems as if you feel that as well, that you have almost a responsibility in the way you present yourself?
Absolutely. I remember you're interrupting people. You have to present yourself in an honorable and good way so that there's no sense of threat to them.
The company started in 1906 by a 21-year-old Alfred Fuller, making custom-made brushes. At the height, the 40s and 50s, there were tens of thousands of these salesmen. What do you carry with you now? Because it really branched out from brushes.
At one time when you made your rounds, you had one of those real boxy sample cases. And what you always tried to do, especially when you called on people at home, is try to do demonstrations of certain products. And that sort of intrigued them, and you kept going and going and going. But I'm calling on people at work, and I only carry about seven, at the very most, things. Hand and nail brushes I always make sure of, a feather duster, a couple of hair brushes, a cleaner, a germicidal cleaner.
Of course.
Must have that.
You demonstrate. I have this vague memory of demonstrations of spot removers.
Absolutely.
And you're cold calling in a lot of places.
Always.
So give me some tips on salesmanship. Cold calls, so tough now, especially since everybody does everything on the internet. Nobody wants to talk to anybody.
Exactly.
So how do you smooth that over?
Well, I dress properly. I always wear a bow tie. My father used to call it a sartorial smile. And I'm sort of mirroring Willie Loman, and my shoes are shine, my trousers are creased, my collar is clean.
Willie Loman, of course, from Death of a Salesman. Yep, go on.
Exactly. But most of the time, because I've been doing it crowding 40 years, I'm calling on people who know me.
Well, then what's that like? We're reading in the San Francisco Chronicle article about a woman who greets you as if, you know, you're her best friend at this point. You each know each other's flaws. You offer her an odor away, a smoke clearer, because you know she smokes. And, you know, what's that? What are the long-term relationships like?
Well, I've known people through their children and grandchildren. If someone talks about a cat, I have things that pet owners will use. If someone is talking about problems with their floors, my memory will go right to dust mops.
Well, you mentioned Willie Loman. It seems that that's also sort of a side effect of salesmanship, which is what that incredible play told us. That self-deprecating part, that symbiotic need that you have for the customer to like you, that can be tough, especially when, as we read, this isn't what you set out to do in life.
No, it wasn't. I think every, you know, behind every Fuller Brush Man is a raging nuclear physicist.
Or in your case, a doctor, because your dad, who it sounds as if you admired very much, also had wanted to be a doctor but became a salesman. How did you go from being what you said was at one time kind of embarrassed, you know, about being the Fuller Brush Man and not the doctor, to straightening that bow tie a little straighter?
You know, I was broke when I started being a Fuller Brush Man, and so I answered an ad. And for the first part of my career as a Fuller Brush Man, I felt that I wasn't really getting to my full potential. And then I married this wonderful woman who sorted me out and said, listen, just do what you think you can do best and be proud of it. And I took a turn there and decided if that's what I have to do to make a living, I might as well be damn good at it.
Well, I didn't mean for this to get so heavy. You know, we started off talking about brushes.
I didn't either.
But it is an interesting, I mean, especially since you mentioned Willie Loman, you know. And I know that you are fond of that character because you also are something of an actor. You've been a child actor. You still do acting locally. And you apparently are very familiar with one of his monologues.
Oh, yes. It's one of the monologues I do when I'm auditioning.
Do you have that in you, or at least...
Always. You're not going to ask me to do it, are you?
Well, how about just a... is this one where he talks about wanting to go to Alaska, which is,
exactly.
You know, your version maybe of being the doctor? And
yeah, he's about to be fired. I'll do it for you if you must.
Okay, well, let me set it up a little bit. He's talking about, you know, when he was a boy, he wanted to go to Alaska. Gold strikes were there. And then he heard about this man, this salesman that he met.
In the Parker House in Boston.
Yeah. Go ahead.
My father lived many years in Alaska. He was an adventurous man. We've got quite a little streak of self-reliance in our family. I thought I'd go out with my older brother and try and locate him, maybe settle in the north with the old man. And I was almost decided to go when I met a salesman in the Parker House. His name was Dave Singleman. He was 84 years old, and he drummed merchandise in 31 states. And old Dave, he'd go up to his room, you understand, put on his green velvet slippers, I'll never forget, pick up the phone and call the buyers. And without ever leaving his room, he made a living. And when I saw that, I realized that selling was the greatest career a man could have. Because what could be more satisfying than to be able to go at the age of 84 into 20 or 30 different cities, pick up the phone, and be remembered and loved and helped by so many different people? Do you know when he died? And by the way, he died the death of a salesman in his green velvet slippers in the smoker of the New York, New Haven, and Hartford going into Boston. But when he died, hundreds of salesmen and buyers were at his funeral. Do you see what I mean? In those days, there was personality in it. There was respect and gratitude and honor in it. Today, it's all cut and dried, and there's no chance for bringing friendship to bear or personality. They don't know me anymore. That's it. That's the monologue. Almost the monologue. There were a couple of mistakes.
No, that was fantastic. And to that I say, attention must be paid to the Fuller Brush Man. That's Norman Hall, the Fuller Brush Man in San Francisco. Norman, thank you so much for joining us. People are lucky if you knock at their door.
Well, thank you very much, Robin. You're very kind.
Well, that took an interesting turn, didn't it? Let's listen to that scene in which Linda Loman defends her husband. This is Kate Reed in the 1985 TV film.
Willie Loman never earned a lot of money. His name was never in the paper. He's not the finest character that ever lived. But he's a human being. And a terrible thing is happening to him. So attention must be paid. He must not be allowed to fall into his grave like an old dog. Attention. Attention must finally be paid to such a person.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI. I'm Robin Young. Please join us again here and now.